You know, it's an honor to be back in Pittsburgh, and I have to say that as the Holy Spirit bears witness that I am being truthful about that. My bride, Anita, is with me. I've been chasing her around for 36 years now. She looks younger every year. That means I'm spoiling her well. It's exciting to be here. It's good to share the Word of God with you. You guys are blessed to be reading the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ this week. As our world desperately needs to see our Lord Jesus Christ as he really is. It just seems like many things are spiraling out of control. And every day we read of terror attacks and mass shootings, nations at war, incurable viruses spreading, racial unrest, violent attacks between police and citizens, nations at war, political parties that want us to choose between various forms of King Saul. And to prove that things are really out of control, Cleveland teams are winning championships. Our world, all kidding aside, desperately needs to see the life of God through Jesus Christ and to see life from his perspective. That only happens when we study Scripture in dependency upon the Holy Spirit, who reveals truth and gives us understanding. My message tonight is called A Room with a View. We checked into a hotel in Pittsburgh, and I didn't know if I could ask for a room with a view in Pittsburgh, but we got one. It was actually quite beautiful, as you guys know, the trees and the hills. I've been in rooms where the only view was trash compactors and brick walls, so I was glad to get a room with a beautiful view. I'm glad I did not have a room by the stadium that I had to look at Steeler jerseys. That's not good for me. But in our passage today, as we invite your attention to the book of the Revelation, chapters 4 and 5, we're invited to see life from the throne room of God, which will give us the proper perspective of life on earth. Let's read the Word of God, if you would just follow along as I read. Then I was given Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse 1, the Word of God says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whatever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your voice through your word. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our heart and our understanding that we might hear and receive the message you brought us here to receive this night. That you would open our eyes that we might see Jesus as he is. And for that, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you tonight about a room with a view. The world needs to see Jesus as he is. And as we obey our Lord, he will reveal himself to us and reveal to us everything we need to see. As the chapter opens, John is going to tell us that he sees this door standing open in heaven, and he hears these words saying, "Come up here, I'll show you things which must take place after this." John has seen the risen Christ on the Isle of Patmos. He's seen Christ reigning and ruling in the midst of his churches. Now he's going to simultaneously see him reigning and ruling from heaven. He hears the command saying, "Come here, come up here. I'll show you things that have to take place after this." See, sometimes people can say "come" and that's an invitation. Sometimes they say "come" and that's a command. It's a summon. When Pastor Rock and Pastor Blaine tell me to come here, that's not an invitation, that's a summons. I obey and I come. John hears this voice that says, "Come up here." He's being summoned into heaven. He sees a door open to heaven. It's not the first time he's seen an open door described in Revelation. You may have noticed in chapter 3, you see a door of opportunity where the Lord tells the church in Revelation 3:8, "I have set before you an open door." That's the door of opportunity. And then later on in Revelation 3, he says to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he invites the church to open up their hearts and let him back into fellowship. Isn't it sad that we have churches that don't allow the Lord Jesus Christ to really have full sway in their hearts for fellowship? Is he knocking on the door of your heart tonight saying, "Let me back in? I want to fellowship with you"? Now we see another door open. This door is to give access to life on earth from God's vantage point and to let us see what it's like in the throne room of God. This is really a room with a view. And as you read this week and you'll see the details, you see this looks like what Isaiah described in Isaiah chapter 6. This looks like the vision that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. This looks like what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. God will reveal to us all that we need to see as we obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, some people glance at spiritual truths. Others see them without fully understanding. Only the Holy Spirit can help you see with real spiritual eyesight and to recognize that Christ is risen and exalted. Remember when you were reading John chapter 20 after the Lord's resurrection, that the Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been rolled away, but she really didn't see like God wanted her to see. She wanted to know who stole his body. And she goes back and tells Peter and John, and they start running to the tomb. And John is younger, and he outruns Peter, and he gets there, and he glances in. And he sees these clothes lying there, but he didn't quite see. And then Peter catches up with John, and he goes in, and he sees the linen cloths laying in one place, and he sees the towel that was wrapped around our Lord's face in another place. And he sees, but he still doesn't see with understanding. And then the scripture says John went in, saw the clothes, and then he saw with understanding. So we need to stop glancing at scripture and let the Lord show us, help us see so that we can see and understand that our Lord is risen and he's still in control no matter what it seems like on this earth. John is going to see a lot of thrones. There's about 17 thrones mentioned in the book of the Revelation, and you know, my math is off sometimes. About 40 times in all. The number that sticks in my head was that it had been over 50 years since Cleveland won a championship, and so you sometimes the numbers just hurt. But there are a lot of thrones mentioned in Revelation. And again, no matter how out of control things seem to be on this earth, our God reigns. He overreigns. He is sovereign. There is nothing taking place on this earth that is catching God by surprise. See, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, John says, immediately I was in the Spirit. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, John sees the one who was seated on the throne. See, we have to believe that our God reigns. We have to believe that he is in control. We have to believe he has everything under control, because your friends and your family think that this world is completely out of control. If we don't see from God's throne room, there's no way we'll make it. So John goes on to do, I'd say, describe what is impossible to describe. He says in verse 3, he sees one sitting there that was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And he goes on to say he saw a rainbow around the throne that was in appearance like an emerald. See, there are certain stones that have the ability to capture and reflect light in brilliant colors. And these are used in Scripture to remind us of various aspects of God's glory. See, the Bible says he is light. He is pure in his holiness, and it's blinding. It would be unapproachable. Have you ever seen a light that was so bright that you literally could not face it? God wants us to get a picture of his purity, of his brilliance. And John says, I saw these stones reflecting brilliant light. That the jasper stone and the sardius stone just happened to be the first and last stones that were on the breastplate of the high priest. And it was a reminder that the people of God were always on his heart. Jasper was a clear stone. It was very hard. It had the ability to capture and reflect all the brilliant colors of light. The sardius stone was a bloody red, fiery red color, which reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. The emerald stone is green and reminds us of the creation and nature. And John said this, I saw this emerald bow, like a rainbow, like a halo around the throne. And that's to remind us that there is a God who keeps every covenant and keeps every promise. We saw the rainbow in the early chapters of Genesis, in chapter 9 after the flood. And God said, I will never destroy this earth by water again. And the fact that we're still here proves that God keeps his word. John said things are not out of control when you see them from the vantage point of heaven's throne room. John saw light in brilliant colors. And you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul told us that God dwells in unapproachable light, which no man has seen. And actually that word man could be said no created being can or has seen. What was Paul trying to say? He was trying to say that God is so brilliant, holy, without limit, and everything he has created is limited. He's trying to get us to understand that it is impossible for a created being to take in all the glory and majesty of God at any one time. It's like going to the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, and you look out at the water, and you could honestly say, I have seen the ocean. Did you see all the water all the way across all those many miles? Could you see all the way to the bottom at one time? No. Because your eyes cannot take all that in at once. You could see more, but it would be more of the same. Paul is telling us, as John is telling us, that our God is so awesome that nothing he has created can take all of his glory in and behold it at one time. He's that pure, he's that brilliant, he's that holy. God is awesome. He's worthy to be praised. John goes on to notice that all who were around the throne were forever preoccupied with the glory of the one who sits on the throne. He describes these thrones, and he describes these elders, and he describes lightnings and thunders, and speculation abounds about who is it that was around the throne. Who are these 24 elders? Well, elders are consistently representative of others like themselves. So they likely represent the redeemed people of God, Israel, the church. Elders are representative of more like themselves. And you notice that they cast their crowns, their golden wreaths, at the throne of the one who is worthy. That they're clothed in white robes, which indicates righteousness, because if you're around the throne of God as a human being that's been redeemed, you've been cleansed and made righteous by the blood of the one who sits on the throne. John described the quaking, the thunder, the lightning, the voice of him who sits on the throne. Remember from Exodus 19 when God would speak and the people of Israel got so scared, they said, Moses, you go listen to him. We're scared. Thunder, lightning. Don't thunder and lightning have a way of arresting your attention? Have you ever seen think of how scared the people of Israel were. Have you ever seen a mountain shake? I've seen a milkshake, but I've not seen a mountain shake. The voice of God was so thunderous that the mountains were shaking. And John said around the throne there were thunderings and lightnings. It was an awesome scene as they beheld the one who sat on the throne. And then if you read Revelation 4 and you think about what you saw in Isaiah chapter 6, you saw these created beings around the throne with their wings and their eyes and all of that. I don't want to try to describe that. I want to focus on one thing. Isaiah said it, and John said it, that all these beings who are around the throne all day, all night, every day, every year, every decade, every century, do one thing. They continue to cry, holy, holy, holy. Let that sink in for a minute. That after thousands and thousands and thousands of years, there are beings around the throne who still find reason to say, wow, 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 holy, unique, none like him, worthy of praise. They never get tired of saying, our God is awesome, he's holy, he's worthy to be praised. See, if you are allowed into the throne room of God and give him the praise that he deserves, this whole world begins to look different to you. As we move on to chapter 5, John says in verse 1, I saw in the right hand of him, one who sat on the throne, a scroll that was written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. One of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scrolls and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our gods, and we shall reign on the earth." As creator and redeemer, Christ alone is worthy. Christ alone is morally fit to loosen the seals to the title deed of the earth and the predetermined judgments contained therein. See, back in the day, important deeds like wills were often sealed by seven different witnesses. And the deed could not be opened unless those witnesses or their representatives were there. And to write on both sides of a scroll indicated that there was much to say, and it was very important. And the deed that John saw represented the title deed of the earth and God's will for this planet. And among all the occupants of heaven, no one was found worthy to loosen the seals except the Lamb of God himself. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, who reigns and rules, is simultaneously a human descendant of King David, and yet he's King David's creator. At the same time he is Lord, he is also the precious Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, who shed his blood for our salvation. And John says, there is one who is worthy to open the seal, to open the scroll. And as he took the seals and opened the scroll, it says in verse 8 that the 24 elders came again, and the four living creatures came again. They all came. Notice they had harps and a golden bowl of incense. The harp in Israel was often used to play the music of worship as you read the Psalms. And John says the incense, this sweet fragrance, was the prayers of the saints. The music and prayers of the saints are a sweet fragrance to the Lord. And God wants us to see that they're kept in remembrance before his throne, and our prayers are being answered as his kingdom comes and his will is done on this earth. We are to constantly pray for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done. Let's stop praying for the will of the Republicans and the Democrats. Let's pray for the will of God to be done on this earth. We will reign and rule when our leader is acknowledged and worshiped. We get to reign and rule with him. Nobody's going to vote Jesus Christ out of office. We get to reign and rule with him forever. Did you notice that John says in verse 9 that God has redeemed people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation? Do I need to remind anyone that we are all members of the same human race? Our Savior is going to redeem people from every ethnicity. Do you ever stop to think that if Adam and Eve had a family reunion, we would all be invited? Make sure. Since God is going to redeem people from every ethnicity on planet Earth, make sure you're one of those ones who are around the throne. The love of God is for everybody. The grace of God is for everybody. He doesn't dispense it based on who you think you are. He loves us all equally. It takes the same blood to save every human being. And John saw this celebration around the throne of people from every ethnic group on the face of the earth. And then the chapter closes with John seeing more people around the throne than he could number. And they're singing songs of praise. See, we were created to sing his praises and to worship him forever. See, he's worthy to be praised. Just like the singing tonight, that was a fragrant sound to our Lord who's worthy to be praised. John says, there were more than I could number. When you see those numbers, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, he doesn't want you to get your calculator out. Those were the largest numbers he had to work with. He was saying there was an innumerable company of people around the throne. And they were all saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Power means his ability is unlimited. Riches means he has wealth beyond our wildest imagination. Wisdom means he has mental excellence. We have people who think they know it all. God does know it all. He has might. That is strength that defies human explanation. The honor goes to him. His character is impeccable and praiseworthy. All glory is due unto him. He is to be recognized for who he is and that he is majestic. In all blessing, we are to eulogize God. We are to speak well of him. We are to bless his name and praise his name because worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory, honor, riches, wisdom, might, and power forever and ever and ever. God bless you.